And as always, believe a person when they tell you something and not when they sell you something. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks. It's become an autonomic reaction now. Yeah. Hey, go Hawks.
Oh, go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Okay. Tell me all about that then.
Oh, just I don't know. I've heard the saying, believe a person when they tell you something. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
Or believe them when they show you when they tell you what they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can trust them when they're trying to sell you something. They're not being real. They're not actually telling you something.
Now. Let me process that, because on the
face
of it.
That's why I started the show with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of juicy, because man, I am so far removed now from the business hippie inner sanctum.
Oh wow, okay.
I saw a post yesterday and I nearly threw up in my mouth. It was just so... And, you know, you and I have different levels of tolerance when it comes to what we might call earnest language.
Sure. Yeah.
I have a tolerance that is much higher than most Brits, but... yeah. But...
But I'm American.
Still limits.
I'm American.
Yeah, you do earnest up the wazoo.
Yeah, I'm Pacific Northwest American, so it's like that's different than the rest of us.
Yours is grass fed, farm to table earnestness.
Oh my god, so true.
I read a post yesterday from that organization with which I am less and less affiliated, and I was just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And so the doctrine from that organization is very much, no, you should be able to sell things, and selling is, there's even a book that's called, I think, To Sell Is Human. You know, it's all about the twisting the definition of sell.
Okay.
Basically, to fit a moral, to make people feel okay about selling. And there's a nice example, it's a cute example, and it's, if you're a parent, you quote-unquote sell bedtime to your kid every day.
Well, that's not a great way to do it.
But what was that?
Well, that's not a great way to do it, but okay.
And that's like, you've got to convince, you've got to, you know, say, you know, here's all the great reasons
that's
you should go to bed.
Right there. Sorry. I'm learning everything from Margaret through her Montessori teacher training. And it's like,
oh, sure.
But okay. Yeah. Carry on. That's what we do.
Yeah, but then, that's what we do between for sure. Montessori training and parenting. Cause the Montessori teachers get to give the kids away at the end of the day.
I mean, she's learning about childhood development.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But you know, we all grew up not wanting to go to bed because going to bed was boring. And we all had to be told to go to bed, basically.
Sure.
So the book goes into and it's like, there's this whole culture of if you're in the photocopying department, you're in sales. If you clean the telephone, you're in sales. And it's all this, you know, because best foot forward and represent the company and all that bollocks. And there's something about meeting a guy, a janitor at NASA, and Buzz Aldrin coming up to him, and he's like, "You keep the rockets running," or something like that. And it's like, okay, all right. Some pinches of salt applied.
That one I can actually get behind.
Yeah. No, I mean, because
it doesn't run without everybody involved.
Yeah,
then,
exactly.
And they're all doing it. Yep.
Yeah. Yes, let's not throw the baby out completely with the bathwater.
Yeah. And so for me, I feel so all of those people are complicit in whatever evil is also going on in whatever company, if they are, you know, it's like Amazon or whatever. But
I think the word, because there are subtle differences in our language, and I think one of the words where there is a subtle difference is the word scheme. Because in British English, a scheme is not inherently bad. It's just a plan. It's you know.
Sure.
So you know, you might have a childcare scheme, which is you know, go away for 6 weeks and do some activities, you know, while the parents can have a holiday, whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, you know, scheming and all that kind of stuff in American,
you're
slightly different.
That's typically the difference I hear it as. If it's a scheme, unless they're talking about like a heist, usually I think of a scheme as, an order, an operations or a plan or whatever. And scheming is...
scheming is naughty. Naughty.
Yeah.
Yes. Naughty. And I wonder if selling... There is a difference, and it might not be a continental thing. It might just be each person's approach to the word selling, because,
for sure,
like, because there is the what I think is the often tacit or implied meaning is selling someone something that they don't need.
Right.
Whereas there are moments where it is good to be sold something that you do need.
Sure.
So yeah, like talk to me about your relationship with the word selling, please, Brendan.
I've been what I would call swindled in terms of being sold something that I did not need, but was absolutely convinced that I did.
You gotta get the clear coat.
Yeah, or that a fucking timeshare. Oh man, I just wanted to have vacations with my wife, and this is my ex-wife at the time, and yeah, they did the fucking the boxes and put in the numbers in the boxes and did the magic math to make it show you that you'll be saving money.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be making money.
Yeah. Totally fucking worked on me.
It's gonna cost you not to sign this deal.
As soon as I walked out the door, I was fucking pissed. I realized it. And it was just this, it was in a fucking conference room at a hotel. And there was like fucking 30 people there, all getting sold the same thing. And a whole bunch of them got it. And I was raised with my family, having multiple timeshares. And it worked out really well for them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they had like three or four Marriott timeshares, and they gamed that system as hard as they could, and it made it work, and it was amazing. And I was way over my head, had no idea what I was doing. Got a timeshare with a different company that was worse, and really got screwed over. Eventually, I sold it, which was great, but. Did not make a profit out of it. And I don't think, and they sold us, this part doesn't matter at all, but they sold us on benefits of like, there's this easy access, like immediate thing. If you just want to get away for a holiday for a weekend or for a week or whatever, and never available. We tried so many times and it never worked. And we never actually used the thing at all. We couldn't ever get it to go. Yeah, so it felt really bad.
Yeah,
and that's not my only bad experience with selling, but it is like one of the most costly.
Yeah,
I feel like in my lived experience has shown me both from what's come at me from other people. And what I have put forward when I have been put in the position of selling, I'm turning off my humanity. I'm not making a real human connection with somebody. I have a goal with this interaction. It's transactional. I want to get something from them. I don't really care about giving anything to them. You know, like a person in their highest Zen state. Sure. Like when I'm in doing for Rockstar, I don't sell remodels. I'm available to give remodels. Like it's a privilege for them to have my time. And I enjoy getting the payment from it, but also I kind of don't. I really want, and this is what I say all the time, is I would love to just be in their home, make it beautiful, and then just be okay. No, I don't need a, I don't want a payment. I don't want to bill them. I don't want money at all. I just want to have my good life and help their life be better too. And if they, and on the walkthroughs, I'm telling them, okay, make sure you get at least two more bids and estimates. Have other people look at this, get more opinions. Take a look at the estimate, read the contract, make sure you're aware of everything that's going to go on with this. I don't want any secrets. I don't want any confusion here. I want this to all be above board and clear. And if you want this, I would love to help you with it. If I do, you know, then I turn down jobs because I'm like, yeah, I don't want that. And of course, I'm still human. I with the infamous project that started this show, I was really excited by that price tag because honestly, a big part of it was because it was insurance money. I was excited because it wasn't a person's money. I don't give a shit about the corporation of an insurance company. And you know, they're constantly stealing money already. So, you know, happy to have that flow back into the economy instead of in the pockets of whoever. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
You and I do business in similar ways, I think.
Yeah.
And have similar values.
I think so too.
But there is still a there's a sales pitch. It's an honest pitch.
Sure.
And that's why this shit's difficult, because how do you actually know who's being honest and who's swindling you? And that's the whole point, and that's the whole problem. Yep. I have had conversations with people where I haven't really wanted to do the work, and I've actually in some cases been not dragged into it, but persuaded to do the work. And it's been fine. I've been lucky. There's been times when obviously it hasn't been fine. But there's been times when I haven't really wanted to do a particular thing, and I realize that by doing it, I make their lives easier. And so that's fine. And it's a little bit more income, whatever. But there are times when I'll have conversations with people and go, you're clearly not, I'm not what you need, or what you need is something different, and I will help you go and find that or point you in the right direction. If you need someone who is like order of magnitude cheaper, then I can say, well, this is probably where you want to go, because like I'm never going to get the good business anyway. So that's all fine. But yeah, I think it's trust. And the thing about the work that you and I do versus big business, whatever, is for us, it has to be built on trust. We've got to build that, or establish, that was the word I was looking for. We've got to establish that trust, because otherwise the person on the other end of that sales pitch has no data to go on. We're talking about sales. We're talking about trust.
What do you call?
Oh, stop asking me things. There
I
go.
I figured, because like, sometimes it helps to get your mind off of the thing you were going to do. Yes. So I was just trying to help with a little joke.
Please do.
What do you call a cute belt that you're not sure is going to hold up your pants?
A waste of time? I don't know. Go on.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. But I would say they're pretty suspenders.
No.
It's worked on two others. They loved it. Carl laughed for like 2 minutes.
No.
Yep. That's a good one.
Oh. Oh, fuck. I can never find the right one. No.
Yes. No. Yes. No. Finally got the applause.
Oh, I mean, that one'll do. Right. That's the one we want.
I'll take it. Cricket clapping for me.
That's the one we want. Crickets are still an audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thousands. So I don't think I want to make podcasts anymore, Brendan.
Wow, bro.
Yeah.
Even this one?
I'm making no decision. No, no, this isn't like let's have a conversation about convergence.
Okay.
So we're okay for
it's
now.
Like we'll have a conversation about convergence at a later date, it sounds like.
No, well,
It's okay.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I'm gonna be real.
Tell me, bro.
This wasn't a conversation about how I want to quit Convergence.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Not yet.
But so I don't think you and I have talked about the Indie Podcast Awards.
No, I was gonna ask you. Yeah. I wanna hear the story.
So two things about it. Okay. Firstly, I got to go to Apple HQ in Battersea in London.
So cool. What was that
like? Yeah. That was kind of what you might imagine. Very tight in terms of, like, you know, very friendly or pretty friendly, but also like, no, don't go in that. Like, no, no. Because it's a working Apple HQ.
Wow.
So there's shit going on that they do not want you to.
And is that like the HQ of England, or like,
I think it's the UK, might even be the Europe HQ.
Wow.
But it's certainly the UK HQ. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And your invite, was that like in a batch of like all the nominees got to come?
Yes. So it was all the nominees to the Independent Podcast Awards. Which are basically what they're sort of a kind of a successor or an offshoot or a sort of a response to the British Podcast Awards, which they're held in a similar place. They're held in, you know, it was the same venue that I'd gone to for 3 years running for the British Podcast Awards. Similar kind of vibe, but for people who aren't represented by the BBC or NPR or whatever, which is dope.
Yeah, it is really dope.
And so, yeah, all the nominees got to go to Apple for a little presentation and a bit of networking, and some, they laid on some breakfast for us, some, you know, little croissants or whatever. And it was quite nice. And I put my bag down on a side table, side cabinet thing, and then just like put my jacket over the top of it. I think it's the one I'm wearing now, but at the time it was probably more covered in cat hair. And I, when we finished, like, I, you know, I went to the loo, and my person who I was with had remarked with me on this as well, that when you go out of the sort of conference-y, talky, web seminary bit, there's a couple of left turns or whatever, and at each turn there is someone stood there like a security guard in a video game who's like, you can't go any further, Freeman.
And they're selling.
Or who's got to like retina scan you in, and they're there to make sure that you don't go a-wandering.
And they're in sales.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in sales. I'm sorry I missed that. They're in sales. Yeah. So that was weird. And then, like, yeah, in very Apple fashion, the toilets are like, the cubicles are too minimal. it's hard to know, like, what is it? Like, I opened the door and someone else did this immediately after me, so I was quite happy. So point A, I get to take a shit on Apple's campus. That was quite fun.
Fuck yeah.
That was great. That felt kind of, I don't know, there was a glee there. It was like, I'm taking a shit in Apple. And as I was doing so, someone made the same mistake I did. In they walked into a shower.
What?
It's just a shower cubicle. This person did the same thing I did. They opened the door and just went, whoop, shower.
That's fantastic.
And there's not enough urinals. There's like two. There's as many urinals as there are USB-C fucking ports on a MacBook. i.e. too few.
Too few and only on one side.
Yes. But that was all nice. And as the presentation's going, and they're talking about stuff, some of which I'd seen when I was at the podcast show London this year, was like, here's some stuff you can check in your dashboard, and here's some stuff about podcast growth. And like, I was with someone who's, you know, got a couple of new shows and stuff, and they were kind of looking at all of this stuff, and they're an Android person. So they, you know, and I had to sort of explain to them, like, Apple, it's not just about iOS and whatever. And I was sat there watching all of this and going, I feel so completely out of this now.
Mm-hmm.
Happily, like, mm-hmm. resigning. Well, happily, bittersweet, there's sort of bittersweet, like melancholy or something about it. Just like, yeah, I'm done chasing all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've chased it with Undo. I've chased it with so many shows. And I'm just, no, it's nice to not be thinking about that anymore. And it was kind of a relief. And I really started getting this sense that if I got any kind of nod at the awards,
yeah,
it would feel like,
which you did with the nomination.
But, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. But they get, and I appreciate that, but they get, like, with each category, there's a winner, and then in some of them, there's, like, a special commendation as well.
Okay.
So, you know, in each category...
Sure, sure. There's more. There's extra.
Yeah, yeah. There's extra.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you can actually win the category. And I didn't really think I'd win. But I was sat there thinking, it's been 15 years of...
Hustle,
having a not exactly one-sided relationship, but knowing, and I think I said this to my friend I was with, knowing that I've always loved podcasting more than it's loved me. And that was always the case with, like, I loved Twitter back in the day. And I always felt like, yeah, that was slightly imbalanced as well, and I could never give it what it wanted. And I thought, wouldn't this be a lovely send-off, is the phrase. This would be a nice way to just cap off. It's been 15 years. I've given it a go in lots of different formats. Tried to find something that would fit my brain chemistry and that I would enjoy and that I could sustain. I thought, yeah, you know what? That would feel nice, because I wouldn't have any big promotion to jump off of it. Like, it wouldn't mean that much. It wouldn't be like a great big thing. It'd be lovely to walk away and say, you know what? Took me 15 years, but I got an award. Never had an award for anything I've done. I'm not talking about luck and having won things out of luck. I'm talking about your work being rewarded.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's not entirely true, but yeah, that'll do. Yeah. So
that's how it feels in the moment.
Yeah. What I meant by that is I've come a runner-up in a competition for my, you know, using my brain to do a thing for a competition. But, like, you know, nothing that I've spent 15 years doing is what I mean.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
So, yeah, so we have a pretty decent day, quite a few drinks and some food. We get to the venue and just because the weird way it shook out is the person I was with was a judge. Completely separate from me knowing this person, it just turned out that they were also a judge, so they were going to be going
so
anyway.
Funny, yeah,
weird, like crazy weird.
Yeah,
and
not of your category.
No. So as it happened, we were sat, like, they got special seating, like right near the front, and because. One thing led to another. I'd bought my tickets fairly late, so I'd already paid to enter the competition. I'm like, oh god, yeah, I've got to buy tickets to go to the thing as well. So there's another way that they get you coming in on the way in and the way out. And so I was right at the back of this quite small little auditorium, sat through quite a lot of categories, and then mine comes up, they call upon the names of the shows, and mine's the last one to be mentioned, and then they do There's a special commendation in this category for a show that does yada, 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 and a different show got that. And then they started describing the winner, and I was like, okay, okay. It wasn't me. And I probably said this to you before. I've said it to one or two people, but this is a safe, well, I would hope to be a safe space. I said to a couple of close friends and family members, if you knew how sad I was about this, you wouldn't like me as much.
Brother.
I was really bummed.
Of course.
And yeah. I think because I ascribed a meaning to it.
Yeah.
15 years. And I'd had a relationship with the progenitor of this, of these awards, having sponsored 3 years of them. I know that doesn't mean anything, but like, and having been at the podcast show.
And you wouldn't want it to either. You wouldn't want to have bought the award.
No, no, for them to have had like bumper lanes on it. No. Or asterisks, yeah. I think also, because I'd already known that this was the case. Like, it wasn't I didn't like flounce out and go, like, that's it, I'm finished with podcasting. I'd already knew partway through the podcast. Love that face that you just made.
Title.
I'd already knew partway through the podcast show London that I was kind of on. I wasn't out, but I was like, I feel like I'm at the back end of this now.
I remember feeling that from you at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And like a couple of people, and we've spoken of it before, like a couple of people came up to me and were like, we love your stuff. It's really helpful. And, you know, and it's really great. Why aren't you doing it anymore or whatever? And it's like, I look at them on LinkedIn and it's like, yeah, you're my fucking competitors. And I keep enabling you. I keep giving you more content. This content's not for you. It's meant to be for the people that I want to have as clients. And you keep using it for your own stuff. So like, that's why I'm not doing it anymore.
Wow.
So it was, it was just like, we were going to be running to rushing to catch a train, which we managed to do. So we didn't have very long at the sort of after party, but it was so loud and crowded and overstimulating. I just couldn't be in there, and I was bummed as well. So like, I had no intention of networking. I had no one to network with.
Sure.
So I let my friend do that, and I just sat for a few and just, you know, read the internet for a bit until it was time for us to go.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting close to the end of the last chapter of the internet yet?
Getting there. I keep bumping into the bottom of TikTok. But they just keep managing to shovel more content just underneath the bottom. They keep finding a new layer. Found a great one this morning, actually, that is was exactly the right video that, not like exactly the right time, but like, had I discovered this video a few years ago, man, would have changed a lot, because it's all about intrusive thoughts and autonomic reactions to intrusive thoughts.
Interesting.
Yeah, and like called out some very specific stuff that I was like, oh, that's directly correlates with my experience, and you've just told me it's fine.
Nice. Validated.
Yeah. Whew. I thought it was okay, but I didn't like to, I worried about it all the time, but now you've said it's a thing and other people experience it. Oh, okay, good, great.
I'm pretty sure
there's very little in the span of human existence that is wholly original.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's all normal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all on a bell curve, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I should have known my last, wannabe therapist wasn't necessarily the sharpest tool in the box when he didn't know what bell curve was.
Okay.
Anyway,
ring the bell.
Lots of people don't know what bell curve is. It's fine.
It's fine.
So, I've had a number of thoughts and they all keep coming back to the same thing of like, yes, but you know the past, so you can use the past to predict the future. And one of them was, and I'm like, I'm not 100% convinced, but last night I was pretty damn close to it. I need to find some way of marketing Flurry and a podcast interviewing people who like do events and do community organizing things is a good idea. Like, it's a good idea, but I you know, as I was walking through ideas in my brain last night, I finally just asked myself, yep, that's all great, but are you going to spend half a day a week doing the admin for the number of weeks that it will take?
For Flurry or for podcast?
For the podcast for Flurry, when you're also trying to build Flurry.
Right. Okay.
And it wasn't something to be done now. It was something to be done when the major sort of build of Flurry is done, and there's no new like features that absolutely have to be built. Because that would be insane, and I don't have the time.
No.
But it was, you know, it was just one of those thoughts of just like, I kind of spooled forward like 12, 15 weeks. And I was like, I know myself.
Yeah, you're going to burn out on that.
Yeah. A show like this, I don't. And I think even a show that would, you know, and I bring zero prep to the table, except for what I can synthesize from the last week.
Yeah.
And 42 years of living a life. And I know you bring a bit more. You bring a lot more. But yeah, like a show like this, I could keep doing. And even more, like, yeah, if I just did it and then it just got posted, or we did it as a live, you know, we've talked before about just doing a live show.
Yeah.
And it just going up. Like, that's all fine. But like, I'm not even listening to as many podcasts anymore. Like,
oh, same.
Yeah. I'm mainlining Dimension 20 at the moment. I'm back onto Dimension 20.
Nice.
Do you
mostly just like kind of listen to it as a podcast?
Yeah. Although when I'm coding, as I have been today, I've got it on my second monitor here. I'm looking at I'm looking at Ali and Murph and Emily in the middle there. And they're doing their most goofy season so far, which is set in space. I skipped a bunch because they were all Pando ones. And I was like, I don't want to watch everybody in boxes. I don't want to watch all my friends in boxes.
Yeah.
I want to watch them around the table.
I've watched every episode of Game Changer, like some of them, most of them multiple times. And I still haven't gotten through all of the pandemic season yet. Like, I've maybe watched a third of it.
Yeah,
and they're actually pretty good.
Yeah,
but it's just so hard.
Honestly, we're still carrying the fucking genuine trauma of that. And when that felt like such a comfort, like I bought a virtual ticket to watch the Thrilling Adventure Hour do one of their live shows, and it was not great because it was full of Zoom lag, and that wasn't their fault, but like they were doing their best. And you know, I watched Stephen Page perform multiple gigs on a Saturday night because that's what he did from his basement studio. And it's because we were clinging on to something, and so we needed that. We needed to know that there were people out in the world that were still trying to make stuff. Yeah. Whether it was John Oliver in his little white booth.
The white void. Oh, man, that was
void.
That was clutch. That was great.
And
we did need it at the time, and it was really fucking great that it was there.
Yes,
and it's not so fun to be reminded of it.
It's not. It's not. No, it really isn't. And it kind of it hurts my heart a little bit when I see them because it just
yeah.
I'm not Yeah, it would have been amazing had I been a D20 acolyte at the time. It would have been probably something else that would have helped get me through. But now it's just like, oh no, and like, yeah. So yeah, I'm skipping those. So I've got Dimension 20 on the go, and a couple of audiobooks. Trying to get back into TV, and yeah, I think I've been thinking about rediscovering music again.
Oh yeah,
and trying to find my way back into music. Like, you know, back in the day, that's what I listened to. You know, before I exclusively moved to podcasts, which was I don't know when, 15 years ago probably. It's so strange. Like, okay, a couple of thoughts actually. One of them was, I was thinking about so many of the shows, like even the Daily Tech News show, which I still subscribe to and listen to. I'm thinking like, okay, it's all right being informed about some tech stuff that's going on. I might find some useful things here and there.
Yeah.
But mostly, it's just filling the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's filling the time while I'm doing other things. So it's not like I'm sat there not doing anything and listening to the, you know, it's while I'm making breakfast or whatever. It's like, first thing I'll put that on and that's what I do. But, and it's the case with some, you know, some of the podcasts, some audio books, some various things. I'm like, I couldn't tell you what happened. I have no idea. Because none of it's stuck. It's all transient. It's all just in one ear and out the other, and none of it has any traction because it's just there to fill the space. And I'm not as afraid of silence as I used to be. I have this memory of must have been, God, 2008. 2007 maybe. What was that little grin?
Must have been God.
God. It must have been God.
2007, 2008.
Must have been God 2007, 2008.
title.
Yeah, with the brackets. Been God brackets 2007, 2008. I had an episode of a BBC show called The News Quiz. And that's all I had in my, wouldn't have been an iPhone at this point, probably because I didn't have it wasn't an internet connected device. It was probably my Creative Zen Nomad. Perfect. Or something.
Perfect. Flawless
device. Or actually, it might have been an honest to goodness iPod. It might have been an honest to goodness iPod.
Mm. iPod and, video.
That one, I don't think my iPod was a video iPod, but the Creative Zen that I bought the year before was, or maybe it was a video iPod, I can't remember. I remember having one of those devices and watching the last episode of season 4 of The Wire in Australia on a tiny little screen. Mm-hmm. So it probably was a video iPod.
Yeah. I think it was like the second to last generation of the the regular iPod when it got the new name of iPod Classic.
Right.
And God, that thing was a brick of a device, and like not huge but like weighty, solid, just like,
yeah.
They had
and
perfected
it. Was all hard drive.
It was just a fantastic device.
Yeah.
iPod Classic.
Yeah. I remember getting, I had to pop into the high street to get something. So I'd got on the bus, got into the high street, and I was listening to, I was probably going to the post office. A thing I do so rarely now. Listening to the News Quiz, and it wasn't enough to get me from the bus stop to the post office and back.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of traveling in silence was such an anathema to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's meant to be anathema or an anathema. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure,
but it was such a no-no that I just put it on again. because mm-hmm. anything that, mm-hmm. and I didn't have anything else on my iPod or my, whatever it was that I had with me at the time. So I just put it on again. And that's something that's changed. That's something that changed with therapy, actually. Was realizing after a few weeks, getting into the habit of having the session, then walking back to the bus stop, looking around, and like, and because you're still like digesting, you're waiting for your mental food to go down, you're helping it, and so you don't want to necessarily like push it all down with some four white guys having their white guy conversations. You want to actually sit with it, and that then led to other things like properly noticing, you know, noticing the world around you. I'm a lot more okay with silence, but I still like the idea of like waking up and then there's some music or there's something. And I think, more and more, it doesn't need to be podcast shaped.
I feel you. Sometimes I start work and I just haven't gotten to the part where I put in my earbuds and let's start listening to something yet.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of carry on not noticing, oh, I'm not listening to anything yet.
Yeah.
And it's like a half an hour in, I'm like, oh, I've been in silence this whole time. But it's usually once something loud happens at work, then I put my earbuds in because I have noise isolating, you know, molded tips to like block out noise. And I'm like, oh, this is loud. Fuck. And then, oh, well, I might as well hit play. It's just going to play something nice for me. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah. And it's like, it's tying in with wanting to have my own collection of music again. And like have a sense of what is my music rather than, and actually have it on the device. Whether it's in Plex, and it's probably going to live in Plex because I'm mostly happy with Plex. It's got a bit more commercialized over the whatever, but there may be options I can turn off or pay to make it go away. But you know, having all my stuff, I think somewhere, I think that might be good. And you know, so that there's again that sense of ownership. And just being able to hit shuffle and go, what am I going to get today that I'll probably enjoy?
Especially with Apple's new auto mix feature. Have you used that at all?
I haven't. No.
Oh, it's incredibly Apple. It is finicky and particular and kind of silly and stupid and weird. And when it works, in two ways. When I say when it works, I mean if it actually functions. Like if there's not some stupid arbitrary rule that prevents it from doing anything and just ignoring that you have the feature on in both in settings and in the music app, you have the setting on and it still doesn't work, which is just frustrating. So when it actually works, it will either do it well or poorly, and both are amazing. I love it so much. When it works as advertised, it is just silky smooth. And I love it. I was just talking to Cameron about this. Like the transitions, I love listening to music mixes, like hour-long mixes of people DJing sets. And I'm listening for the transition between songs because that part is gold to me. The combination of two different things coming together and see what people think of and do and everything. And then with Apple Music doing this, like you can just hit shuffle and it can be a totally different key that does not match up, a different tempo, and it melds it and makes it like a really interesting sound, especially with this because it's stuff that a person would not think to do. You know, it's completely random. That's one side of it, which is just great. And that's, honestly, when the feature is working, that's 90% of the time, which is awesome. Then there's 10% of the time where it works, but it fucks up. And it is so hilarious to me. Like sometimes it will just burst in loud with the second song for like 2 seconds and then go quiet again and then fade it in. Later, and it's that's super funny. And then sometimes it will... it will get the tempo wrong of one of the two tracks. It will think it's way faster or slower, and it will start super slowing it down. Oh, and then the next song just comes in at the right tempo. It's just like, what the fuck is happening here? And it's just glory. I love it every time. When as long as it's working, I love it. So highly recommend it.
Back in the Winamp days, I swear down blood that there was a plugin that I always felt, and I think my memory is probably massively rose tinted, but in my memory, it seemed to know when, like, it wasn't doing like beat matching or key matching or anything like that, but it seemed to know
what when song a song would sound good
faded out versus when it had a sudden stop. So it wouldn't just like automatically just fade at an arbitrary point and then put the next song in. Like, it did crossfading in a really elegant way. Yes. And like, how much of that I don't know is actually happening, or if it was just a lot simpler than I realized. But like, yeah, I loved that. It used to be a really, really good, really good plugin. I mean, the hours I used to spend just sitting listening to stuff on Winamp.
Kicks the llama's ass.
Really does. It really does.
Speaking of music, I got a note from a fan that they would love to hear Tune Tumult again. There's a tiny outcry. I told them this. I don't know if I have. Like, I fucking loved it, and I love it, and I want to do it again. I don't know if I have it this morning.
I don't know.
You were thinking about that this morning?
I was thinking about Tune Tumult, yes.
Fuck yeah.
I'm so proud of those songs.
Yeah.
I ain't got the time. Because that was pre-running a fucking singing group where every week I have to make something that isn't fairly new now, by the way, is I'm making backing tracks.
Amazing.
And in most of the cases, I'm doing all the vocal parts and putting them into separate files and mixing them down so that people can hear the different vocal parts. Yep.
Fuck yeah, dude. I love that. I'm excited for your holiday show, dude.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be cool. There was I leveled up a skill.
Hell yes.
On Friday, I don't even have told you about Saturday yet. Oh, gosh, I'm tired already. I leveled up a skill. We had someone turn up who was very fine of voice. And they were doing, we were practicing Killing Me Softly with His Song, which is the full title of the Fugees cover.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's about a boy.
It is about a boy. What? What?
That was a joke just for me and maybe anybody who gets it, I guess. But, you know, okay. It's famously in the movie About a Boy is that song. And so then I was just playing that the song is about a boy. So anyways, not my best. Anyway.
No, it's fine. One of my favorite musicians, singer-songwriters back in the day did the soundtrack. And I have the soundtrack album. It's very good.
It is.
Badly Drawn Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Badly, as you say, drawn boy. So they turned up and they were very good. They were doing the high harmony part of Killing Me Softly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it on video, and like, everybody sounded great, and that's my whole thing. I'm like,
hell yeah,
there's, you know, no solos, no stars, everybody sounds great. And
amazing.
I got a let's do WhatsApp reenactment theater.
Ooh.
I will the name will be redacted to preserve their innocence. Here we go. Scrolling up.
Welcome to WhatsApp Reenactment Theater. Please silence your cell phones and your watch. and sit back and enjoy. No flash photography.
So I'd packed up and a few people had gone to the pub, but I hadn't because I'm still feeling ropey, so I wanted to go home. But as I was walking home, my phone started pinging me. And I'm still trying to find the actual beginning of it. Oh my word. Okay, oh my God, there's so much. Here we go. Right. Okay. Who is the last minute ringer you've brought in so that we... Oh yeah, okay. I need to set up a bit of lore, L-O-R-E, in the C90 universe. As you will know, just because it's, you know, I think it's humor that you get as well. Because we're doing the end of year show, I keep talking about us either getting to regionals or saving the rec center.
Nice.
And so that's just have that in your head as we read through this. Who is the last minute ringer you brought in so we could get to the championships? So that's this person. And I say, fucked if I know, but I think they've joined the WhatsApp group. Nope, false alarm. We'll never know.
I love saying that. We'll never know.
No, it's not knowable.
Unknowable.
Their reaction, our ears serenaded. Our spirits inspired, our hackles up. Not many people make me feel like I used to. Not many people like I need to. Not many people make me feel like I need to get back in my box because I'm not enough. She may well be back. So what we're starting to build to here is a sense that this new person has arrived. And to somehow, somewhat, set the cat among the pigeons.
Okay. I was thinking,
there are some people who are... And I'm not fully getting it yet.
Okay.
I'm taking you through the journey, right? I can see...
Okay.
Not many people make me feel like I need to get back in my box because I'm not enough. And then she may well be back. And I reply with, hopefully. And then she says... You did basically call her a deity, which I think was misunderstood. I was giving everybody praise, and I think that was taken as like very pointedly at this this new ringer. It's like, well, not really, because I'm not about singling people out here.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure I would have like said, you know, hey, sounded great over there, whatever. And so, you know, you basically got it right. And so I replied with, wasn't just her, mate. Everyone brought it. To which she replies, well, whatever she was doing, I must certainly try and learn the harmony. So I reply, she was essentially singing the bit in the drive, but better, meaning the Google Drive where I store all the different parts. I'm saying, like, she's basically just singing the part that I demonstrated to people, but she was doing it a little bit better. And then so this person replies with, yeah, exactly, a ringer, which is now the accusation that she's been brought in as some sort of third party. So I reply with, how else are we going to get to regionals, with which I'm greeted with a fuck you. And at that point, I'm thinking, okay, cool, done, right? Done. No, it's not done. We're awful, I know. Utter bitches. But we're off kilter a bit. Listening in awe, I guess. Obviously, would never say to anyone but my Uber full of pals and you. And apparently it was someone else who brought it up. So it's still happening. And so I reply with... I'm still not really... Like, I'm not fully like getting it or engaging. I'm like... I thought we just had a nice evening. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I'm like, your nose does seem to be out of joint, but like, I don't know what you want me to do. You know what I mean? Like, what is it? I don't know
what
you want me to do.
I can't bring them back in.
And I can't tell them to not come again because their voice is too good. So like, what is it? So I just said, like, if you can imagine me shrugging as I type this.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet new people. And she says, yes, of course. But when they're so good, it makes the rest of us weep a little bit. At this point, I take 3 minutes to get home and compose my message because I'm nearly home. And then I think, okay, I finally understood. And I just reply with, no one can upstage the original back row because these are people who always, when they come in, they always stand at the back.
Nice.
And I was like, that's, and it was greeted with, you say all the right things. So like, yes, aww, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Clearly what was called for in this moment is diplomacy, because it's such an interesting thing of like, all right, I get it. Like, you know, and I would definitely feel like if someone came up pushed me out of the way, but on the piano was like, oh, I know how this bit goes, and then played an absolute blinder, I'd be like, okay, you know, and I would have my nose put out of joint. What is anyone else supposed to say? Like, no, because like, it's so, egos are so fragile, aren't they, in so many ways. It's like,
yeah,
and it's so easy to be condescending or patronizing, to be like, no, you're brilliant. It's like, no, I don't really want to you to condescend. I just wanted you to recognize that I didn't like it. And it's like, no one's done anything wrong. No one's the baddie, but I just didn't like it, you know? And that's completely fair. And so the diplomatic thing is to be like, I hear that. But you know, you'll always be my first love. versus, you know, like, oh, grow up, or, oh, stop being, you know, because you could so easily, with something like this that starts small, you can end up escalating it by throwing it away, by being like, oh, don't be so silly. Like, you know, no, she was just singing or whatever. Like, you can dismiss it, and then it becomes bigger in that person's mind. Whereas actually what is called for at that moment is just that little bit of tact and diplomacy. And it's like, that sort of just came to me, and like, I think I heard a little sound go bing, and it's like, oh, I think I just got a one up.
Nice. Love that, mate.
Oh,
did you finish your story about the podcast awards?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a word. There's a word that kind of like, oh. No, not like,
No.
I know we're free associating here, but let's keep that going. But there's a phrase that punctuates like this dramatic moment before a winner takes possession of their first place prize.
Mm.
It's not a drum roll. There's something. Do you know what I'm?
Yeah, well, just the general sort of sensation, the sort of anticipation, and
yeah, there's a, oh, I know what it is. A pause trophy.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Get out. Get out of the podcast. I quit podcasting. That's it. I've quit.
As always, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Aww.
And correct me if I'm wrong.